an incredible, incredible turnout. This conversation has been many months in the making. We've talked to numerous groups, and this document that you have before you emerged out of a series of conversations with people like Laura Whitehorn, a conversation that we had with Angela Davis a number of weeks ago, Kathy Boudin, Barbara Becknell, and others. And the idea for Liberation Summer is essentially to pull all of you together who are already doing incredible work around some aspect of incarceration so that we can build a united front that can shift the terms of political debate in this country around incarceration. When we heard Professor Angela Davis speak at Columbia University at a conference that Kathy Boudin organized, she said that it was an incredible moment to be a critic of capitalism, because the OWS movement opened up the conversation about class stratification in American society. What we want to do is build the kind of movement that is going to open up the doors of incarceration, mass incarceration, and is going to put forth a demand for abolition. So that's it. We want to do for incarceration what Occupy did for class stratification in American society. And something that gets told over and over and over again, this is something that Jas Hayden has said, is that we're all doing amazing work, but we're never talking to each other about what we're doing. We bring to this, however, an analysis. And what is that analysis? In numerous conversations I've had with Mumia Abu-Jamal, he has told me that Angela Davis in the 1970s thought that 200,000 people in prison, 200,000 people in prison in 1970 was fascistic. Today we have the numbers vary, 3.2 million people, 7 million people in the system. Those numbers are incredible. Part of the analysis that we bring to this, which is articulated in the vision statement, is that this new wave of incarceration began with an attack on the Black freedom movement in the 1960s. When people in this nation were fighting back against empire, the state launched an attack to silence, right, and destroy people who were fighting back. African Americans were at the heart of that resistance. And of course, the fact that the Black Panther Party was identified as public enemy number one by COINTELPRO was the beginning of that project. In the 1970s and 80s, with the crisis of deindustrialization, that attack on Black people is extended to the masses, right, to Black radicals. That attack on Black radicals is extended to the masses of African American people. And then Latinos and immigrants also become criminalized and scapegoated for the problems in American society. And then you have Muslims being criminalized and other sections of society. Part of what we want to bring to this is an analysis of what the purpose of the carceral state is. We understand that the carceral state is a repressive mechanism to inhibit change, radicalism, and resistance, and keep the people at the bottom of society down. It's a way of scapegoating particular groups for the problems in society, both domestically and abroad. So that's essentially it. The statement is there in for you to read. The idea of Liberation Summer is inspired by Freedom Summer. Essentially, what you have happening in the 1960s is a hurricane of sit-ins. In the aftermath of the February 1st, 1960 sit-ins at Greensboro, North Carolina. And SNCC is in many ways formed in order
to pull together all of this energy and all of this organizing that has already happened and coordinate it in some way. And out of that work that Ella Baker did, we have the beginning of a decade that transformed and civilized American society. It took organization, it took strategy, it took vision, it took people coming together. And we don't have all of the answers, but part of what we're proposing is something that is already in the air, right? That people are talking about at Temple University, in DC, on the West Coast, which is to launch a summer of training, education, and action, right? And we want to start locally, and we want to spread this model of organizing nationally and hopefully internationally, because the carceral state is not particular to the United States, it's international. And that's very briefly, it.
Thank you.
That's fine. That's fine.
Well, you want to say something else?
I was going to say a lot of stuff, oh, but I think you can do it. Okay.
About me?
No, about me, of course.
Let's okay, go talk here. About.
No. We want to hear from you, right? Yeah. All right. So let's honor. Let's have that. Thank you.
You all don't really need to hear from
me. We do.
Me.
We
There's
do.
So much brilliance and enthusiasm in the space. So I'll just say a few words. And first of all, this is a great idea. This is an incredible idea. Because this is a very important historical conjuncture. There are moments that emerge. If you do not take advantage of them, they are gone forever. And the Occupy Wall Street movement, the decolonized movement, really helped to change the terrain of political discourse. And it did a lot of things. It did a lot of really important things. It's doing a lot of really important things. But if it did nothing else other than make it possible, as Johanna was saying, for us to talk about capitalism in a different way, it accomplished an enormous amount. And it's my opinion that this is the first time we've been able to have these kinds of conversations since perhaps the 1930s. That is before I was born. So I think we really have to take advantage of that. And therefore, I think it's important to link the work that is done this summer to a critique of capitalism. That has to be really important. We're talking not only about a system of mass incarceration that's motivated by racism and all of the other things that we know, but we're talking about an apparatus, a carceral apparatus that is so clearly connected to global capitalism. And the profitability of the punishment industry that has developed over the last couple of decades is really central here. So I think people want to hear this. I said I wasn't going to say very much, so I don't want to do, let me see if I can come up with the two or three points that I want to make. First of all, the point about capitalism. Second of all, I think that this is a moment when we can address really difficult issues. We don't have to simplify. We can be more complicated. We can raise questions first of all, abolition, which I think is the whole point here, right? And we can ask ourselves, how can we say that we are for a world without prisons, and then when something like the case of Trayvon Martin comes up, all we do is demand that the perpetrator be prosecuted. So there's a disconnect somewhere. And it means that we have internalized this retributive approach that we criticize the criminal justice system for taking. It has become a part of our emotional reaction, the structure of our own feeling. So how do we encourage people to think about that, not only what is happening in the objective institutions, but what is happening in their hearts, what is happening in their own feelings. And I'm not sure how, I don't know whether we can have create any sound bites around that, but I think that that's something we really need to think about. And change can happen. People can change the way they think about these institutions. You know, I was just thinking that, when was it that we first started talking about organizing the Critical Resistance Conference back in like
97.
And nobody was talking about the prison industrial complex. So one of the things we did in these small meetings, much smaller than this, by the way, one of the things we decided we wanted to do was to popularize that term. Because if people begin to think about prison industrial complex as opposed to simply punishment being a consequence of crime, then we might be able to encourage a different kind of resistance to what we saw then as a not only a soaring population of prisoners, but increasing involvement in the political economy of not only the U.S., but the globe. So I want to suggest that we think about ways to challenge people. And I think people like to be challenged. It's much more interesting, isn't it, to think about something that's new and exciting and interesting than it is to just keep saying the same old thing over and over again. And to say it as if we already know what it is we think we're doing. So I think we have to, I think the summer can create some real challenges for organizers, some real challenges for grassroots activists, for scholars. I mean, it's really exciting. Now, I want to introduce you to Barbara Becknell. And Barbara Becknell is the person who was responsible for developing that whole campaign to save the life of Stanley Tookie Williams, who was executed in 2005. And I see that a lot of you are kind of young. I mean, the years go by, don't they? It seems like it was just the other day that we were standing outside of San Quentin when Stanley was executed. But she had the idea in the context of the Occupy Oakland movement to have a day in which we would occupy prisons all over the country. And so, and that was, what day was that?
February 20th.
February 20th. And some of you participated here.
Yes.
Right. And I think this is now a step beyond that. We want to make it much larger. And I'm sure Barbara's going to say a few words. But I'll just close by saying that prisoners have to be involved in this. We have prisoners, people who, and not only former prisoners of whom there are quite a few here, at least I'm looking at Laura and I see Kathy and I see other people. But we're talking about people who are in prison right now. They have to be involved in this. So we have to figure out strategies that will allow people who are currently behind bars to directly participate in this process. You know, otherwise we we'll find ourselves replicating the very hierarchies we think we're challenging. And that's really one of the things we tend to do all the time. This is why this whole notion of examining ourselves and our own responses and considering the way in which the state has taken up residence in our interior lives. Because we may call for abolition, but someone does something bad to us, and we have this response of the state. How do I do something bad to get back at the person who's harmed me? So how can we challenge all of that? And I'll say, I really will sit down, and I'll say that feminist strategies are central here. They're absolutely important. Thank you.
I'm Barbara Becknell, and one of the topics that came up in our subgroup a few minutes ago was that we had to be bold and we have to have courage. And what I can say is the journey, and I mean it's really been a circuitous route that got me to where to standing here today, that journey was tied to the worst 36 minutes of my life, which were the 36 minutes I spent in the San Quentin death chamber watching my friend be, as the state would call it, executed. But what I saw was murder, and he was tortured to death. Now, what that did to me, besides it being the most horrific experience of my life, what it ultimately did, though, was put some steel in my spine, yeah, and yeah, gave me some that energy and that spirit to have to be bold and to have some courage. And interestingly enough, that awful experience led to this Occupy San Quentin on February 20th and the National Day National Occupy Day in support of prisoners. So I just want to give you a quick little history on that, because what happened was, since that execution, I always do something, and for a couple of few of those years, Angela, who was outside on the day of the night of that execution, I was in the death chamber, but she was outside, and she spoke some incredible and powerful truths. But every year, I my thing is, I'm not going to allow the state of California to just sort of blithely go about its way and let that go away in terms of what they did. So I always have something so we can come together and continue and forward the movement. So all these years later, every year we do something. Many of the years Angela has come, but this particular, just a few months ago, we had something where we were both honoring Mumia's birthday. Wasn't it his birthday? Yeah. Was it his birthday? Yeah.
No, the 30th year.
The 30th year of his incarceration. Also, Troy Davis had just died, and his sister Martina had just died. So we were, and also it was right around the 6th anniversary of Stan's execution. So we all spoke. We came, and Ramona Africa and Angela, myself, we spoke, and there were a lot of Occupy Oakland folks in the audience. And it occurred to me, and it occurred to, there was a young man who had just gotten out of San Quentin, and he talked about how we needed to occupy San Quentin. And now that was bold, And in fact, we ultimately did it. Now let me just say this. San Quentin had that we could see 15 snipers, you hear me? 15 snipers who were all poised with rifles pointed at us throughout the entire Occupy San Quentin. Not to mention two huge buses with bars to arrest us. So they were really prepared to kill us and to arrest us. However, we tricked them, as Stanley Tookie Williams said on his last day of his life. He said, you know, I tricked the system. They thought that the person that they would kill would be the same person who came into this prison, but I'm not that same person, so I tricked them. So we tricked them, They didn't get to kill us, and they didn't get to arrest us, so, you know, but they were ready for it. But at any rate, so we actually presented to that audience who came to that event, you know, what do you think about the idea of maybe an Occupy and bringing the prisoner rights movement together with the Occupy movement? And they thought it was great, and we ultimately put a proposal together, presented it to the General Assembly for Occupy Oakland. They loved it, and therein became February 20th, National Occupy Day, to in support of prisoners. Now, one of the concepts, back to some of the themes and the ways that we need to sort of think about all of this, there is a brilliant brother who is on San Quentin's death row. His name is Kevin Cooper. And Kevin Cooper wrote this incredible essay. You can read it at Occupy, the number four, occupy4prisoners.org. And the essay is called Occupy Death Row. And in it, he makes a brilliant analysis about how the 99%ers need to care about the bottom 1%. And he says the bottom one, he says he's a member of the bottom 1%. And prisoners are the bottom 1%. And that we need to care about them and put as much energy toward them as we do toward our opposition to the top 1%. And then another guy, we read his essay at our Occupy San Quentin deal. This is a guy who's in a prison in Ohio. And he then also presented the analysis that if the prisoners, if that bottom 1% in Ohio stopped working in the prison, he says not only would it bring down the state prison system, it would actually bring down the whole state economy. And because of all of the work that is done and profits that are made within the prison system using the prison labor, and that the prisoners, that the whole definition, and so when we talk about abolition, I thought, what a brilliant essay that this guy wrote. He said the whole concept of prison and the power that the institution ostensibly has over the prisoner would flip in one heartbeat if the prisoners stopped doing essentially what they were told and what the state needed them to do. That equation would just change. The calculus of that relationship would change. So a lot of what we talked about, excuse me, in our group was, you know, were issues around, you know, how do we how do we educate ourselves and the groups? One of the things that I thought was pretty wonderful was the introduction, and to hear all of the different groups that are here. I mean, this is just, I almost started crying, to tell you the truth. That's what it did for me, to see that we've come together in this way. And as we're indicating, we're just starting this, so it's going to get even better. So I may boo-hoo before this is all over with, so you'll know why, because I'm just so happy and so moved by it that what I saw, the group, the way folks came together in support of Stanley Tookie Williams' life and the diversity there, and what we're seeing now, as Angela says, we have a moment. And there have been many prices to pay and many lives to pay for this moment. And so what I'm happy to see is we're obviously embracing this moment. So one of the things that a lot of what we talked about that ran through our theme was, you know, how do we educate each other and also those within our group and those who we want to bring into our group and those who we need to support our ideas, and how do we begin and what do we do? And we've got all kinds of things that we came up with, and the gentleman took notes on. But at any rate, so that's a short story, a short version of the journey that I've been on that started off pretty horrible, but I would say that Stan, it would be that his spirit is here, Stanley Tookie Williams, and that he's pleased that that we're here and we're doing this work, and that we haven't buckled, and that we have courage, and we're prepared to be bold. So thank you.